Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
Good morning, a little chilly.
Yeah.
It is a bit cold out there.
It's getting cold. But you've come here to warm us up with some 60s retro tracks, but they're not from the 60s, right?
Yeah, so we're just going to have to cough. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess I've got a lot to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, how interesting to have contemporary-ish, I mean, we're talking sort of the 2010s, I guess, these bands, that are playing with 60s sounds. And I guess, trying to think of how it's...
Oh, no.
Are you there, Kirsten?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, oh, cool. Good. Okay, yeah. Cool. You're a bit unconnected there for a second, but you're loud and clear now.
Oh, okay.
So, just going back to what you first started saying.
Yeah, so, I mean, the 1960s was actually a period of quite diverse music elements, and so I guess people can partake of that. And as one of the reviewers said about one of the bands, it's happy and lighthearted, but also has a sort of melancholic tinge because you are doing like a nostalgia thing. So you sort of get both things going at the same time, if that makes sense. And you get this palette of girl groups, doo-wop, psychedelic rock, surf music. Like it was such a rich time of these small chunks of rock music sort of deciding what it was going to be and playing with itself, before we kind of codified into like the big rock band in the 70s.
Yeah, it certainly had like a really, really broad range of kind of sub-genres came out of the 60s. And so would you like to kick us off with a track so we can hear it for ourselves?
Yeah, let's do the A La La's. And so this is a California band that, call themselves sort of neo-retro, 60s counterculture politics as well. Like, they feel like the politics of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they formed in 2008. And I think this is an instrumental kind of surf rocky thing.
They're also, like, amazing. I love the A La La's.
Yeah. Mm.
So good.
Cool. This is Raspberry Jam. Definitely brings to mind Krangbin, who I feel like have been highly influential in that sort of 60s psychedelic revival.
Well, yeah, because, I try to think of what bands they've seen to influence them, because, you have albums, right? But, to grow up and say, what bands are they seeing that's playing this music? But, since they have other live bands that they can see instead of just trawling through old album collections.
Fascinating. Yeah, it is buzzy because I guess when you think about the age demographic of the people that are playing this sort of music, they weren't necessarily people that were growing up in the, I don't know, I think I try, I'm
that's
trying
right,
to,
that's
I'm
right.
trying to so do the math of like the age of people in Krangbin, and they wouldn't have been growing up in the 60s. It would have been a little bit later. So it's like the music that their parents were into, maybe?
Yeah.
That's right. And so it's so interesting that, and I know there's like, people say there's like a 20-year cycle when revivals happen, but this is not that,
Yeah.
like when I grew up in the 70s, oh my God, the 50s was really big. We had shows like Happy Days and stuff. So I know sometimes people think that, but so this isn't that. I think this is just because of the sort of diverse, rich genres that this era had. And even like this band, you know, sounding, being from California, sounding like California. And it's just so funny seeing descriptions of the band: psychedelic rock, garage rock, folk rock, rock and roll, surf rock. Like, nobody would know what to say.
You've got so much to play with, I guess, as an artist in this space, because you can just, you can take it anywhere. And then I guess you can put a modern spin on it because you're not working with the same, like, equipment as they were in the 60s.
Or you do, or you say, I want to find some of that old equipment, and I want to find, you know, some of those funky speakers and old guitars and vintage studio elements, you know, or you, you know, and vintage studio techniques, or you do that.
So those are kind of like the diehards going out and getting the...
Well, it's definitely a thing, eh? Like, younger musicians coming through and wanting to record to tape and sort of hark back to that warmer analog sound.
Yeah, and like, you know, like the next band I want to play, Shannon and the Clams, they come from Oakland, and they were saying like that Oakland had a big, you know, electronic music scene, and so they wanted to pull back and sound different and do different, and then you also got to have the venue. So if all the venues are playing a certain type of music and all the audience is there. But yeah, Shannon and the Clams, real cool, funky look, obviously playing with all the vintage stuff. And you'll hear some little bit of doo-wop R&B in this. Buddy Holly, people say.
Cool. Oh, I can hear it already.
Rip Van Winkle is the name of this track. Cowabunga.
Yeah, you can hear the California.
Yeah.
And I guess, like you were saying before, you can tell it's not just a rehash or a redo or a copy. It definitely can sound modern as well. You can tell, I guess, certain sort of elements of the beat and the layering that you can tell aren't from that time.
Yeah.
You got people feeling nostalgic in the text line.
But also a bit philosophical. I really like this one from Paul. You know, obviously, like, talking about them sort of adding their own new flavour to it, but there is a distinctive sound of all of these decades that we talk about, and Paul's wondering if there's a sound of the 10s and 20s, or the 2010s and 2020s, or is streaming mashed it all up? And I was actually wondering this before when we were talking about the generational thing of, like, Millie, do you think our kids are going to be harking back to the music of the early 2000s and like the 2010s, or is that sort of all gone out the window because it just got so, like, there's not as much of a defined sound? Maybe
it is a wild one, like during the 50s, I don't know, there just weren't as many artists, you know.
Maybe.
Well, I was shocked that the 80s had a revival. You know, you're like, no one's gonna do that, and then they did. So I don't know, maybe because we're in it, we can't feel the thing, you know, and then it's in 20, 30 years time that people go, oh yeah,
yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
So,
and to try to capture that.
I guess a question I want to ask you is, do you believe in the 20-year cycle? Like, a revival happens every 20 years?
Well, I mean, like I said, I think this thing kind of defies it because it's a bit longer.
And
you do get this sort of palimpsest layering of like Happy Days, which was a 50s show made in the 70s. And then if you get a revival of that sort of aesthetic, then you've got this weird double layered revival, you know? And so maybe what that person's talking about, that the revivals from 2010s will already be a layered patchwork version of another decade as well.
Right. And do you think that's because people are kind of being nostalgic for a time that they're not necessarily the most familiar with?
Absolutely. I don't like the argument when people say it's lack of creativity. Some people say, oh, you're not creative, you're just pinching old sounds. I think there is nostalgia, eras, you know, and I know in older times people related sort of post-war and, you know, now we've got pre-2000s. I don't know, you know, there's different sort of vibes different generations had.
One would even argue it's more creative to go back to a time where maybe you weren't even born or you didn't experience as a full adult. Maybe that is potentially more creative than,
looking around at what's around you now.
Well, and taking something from then and making it applicable to now, you know, revising it, you know, to be relevant today. Or maybe there is relevance in the things they said. Like I said, I felt like you get the sort of happy bounciness, but it does have melancholy nostalgia. So you sort of get a double layer already.
Mm. I've got to admit, I feel like going to the beach, going for a surf right now.
I feel like running my bare feet.
I feel like some sunshine.
Very good. We've got one more track to end on. Tell us about this one from Habibi.
This is Habibi. I Got the Moves 2013. They call themselves indie punk, but they also have a little Persian Middle East flavor. 60s girl group, psychedelia, they call themselves. And born in Detroit, but from Brooklyn. So enjoy Habibi.
I love Habibi so much. I think the first one I heard was, I think it was on B. Yeah, someone was playing Habibi and I was like, I've got to know more about this band. And I revisit this album quite a bit, self-titled.
And are we allowed to say girl groups? Or are we not supposed to say women groups? I don't know. Oh. Am I being too picky here?
Oh, not sure, actually.
do we say the other bands were boy bands?
True.
I don't want to play any bands on BFM.
But I guess girl groups has an iconic, again, 60s sort of existence. And so are we hearkening back to that?
Yeah, sure, you'd need some sort of alliteration for women.
That's right. It doesn't sound good.
Woman walking.
Oh, okay, I think we should put this song on and let Kirsten get on with her day. Thank you so much, Kirsten.
Okay. Right.
Have an awesome week.
Have a lovely weekend and we'll catch you next week.
Yep.
Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.